This summer, we've been exploring the King David stories. And at the heart of these stories that we've been reading together is we find God working, God moving, loving, giving, and doing for His chosen servant, David. In David's story, we see how God works, how He works through kings, He works through prophets, He works through soldiers. Last week we learned He even works through our harshest critic. This is really God's story, not so much David's story. How He can bring good out of a life, the life of a man who has a passion for Him. And not just that man, but every man and every woman who would have a passion for knowing God through faith in Christ. One of the things I really kind of like about the David stories, honestly, there's not any miracles. And yet God's always there. He's always moving. And you know it. You can see it in the story. God's great faithfulness and love for David is amazing. And like it's like His faithfulness and His love for you and for me. So David, he's not so much a model for us to follow because he makes some pretty serious mistakes, but it's a story that gives us hope. A story that gives us hope in what God can do in us and through us. Where is it evident that God has been with you in your life? What's God doing, working in and through you today, right now in your life? That's the question for today. So we're going to move away from the King David stories today to a passage from one of Paul's letters that kind of tells us, instructs us in how we make ourselves available to God to experience Him working in us. Philippians is a letter to a church in ancient Greece that rings as true for this church as it did for that church 2,000 years ago. The apostle offers specific encouragement in the first couple of verses that I'm going to read. And then he describes what the church in action should look like. Here's our model. Philippians chapter 2, the first four verses. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and truth. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. What would the church look like if we all took to heart the apostles' words? If all of us truly were about the business of doing nothing out of selfish ambition, and we were all looking out for the needs of the other, those within the walls of the church and those outside the walls of the church, maybe even more. How do we experience God working in us in this way? It might look something like this. In this video and in a similar video that we saw this past Wednesday night at our communion dinner that featured the students who went to the San Antonio inner city trip, we witnessed young people who know a little bit or learned a little bit about what Paul writes about in this letter that we read here in Philippians. Paul writes, encouragement. If you have any encouragement from being united in Christ. And we got a glimpse of these young people working together in Christ, being together as one. Paul says if there's any fellowship in the Spirit and sharing Christ and the mission of Christ in New York City and San Antonio, it created a stronger bond of friendship among these kids, I think. And Paul talks about the comfort from his love and his tenderness and compassion. The love of Christ is in these kids that we sent to New York and we sent to San Antonio, because if that wasn't there, they wouldn't have been able to turn it out to somebody else. So we're encouraged by Paul to have the same love for one another that Christ has for each of us. Which means that we find it the ultimate expression in humility when we consider others better than ourselves. And that phrase, I think, gets misunderstood quite often. It's not so much that Paul is saying, hey, you need to think of, you know, people over here as like better than you. He's not really, that's not exactly what he means. He means, if there are needs over here that are greater than your needs, then consider that. Do something about that. If there are needs that surpass our own in this community and in other communities throughout the world, then how can the Christ in us sit idly by and do nothing? That's not what the church is about. God moves in us. We feel His compassion and His love, and it moves us to become a church that's moving in the world. That's how the kingdom comes. The kingdom of God's not something we're waiting to die so we can be a part of. It's we're a part of it right now. And part of that is doing stuff like you saw on that report, on that video. Now, I love some of the quotes from the kids who participated in this trip, in the San Antonio trip that we saw Wednesday night. Tracy Clem said, I had to step up and be a leader for Christ. Well, how did she learn that? It was through serving. Because leadership in the kingdom of God is not bossing people around. It's serving them, and she learned that. Andrew Kleinauer, I think he's going into ninth grade, is that right? Right. In the Wednesday report, he said, their needs are greater than mine, so they are more important than me. Now that's almost a miracle. For a 13 or 14 year old to get what Paul means. That there's a need, I've got to meet it, they're more important than me right now. I think he gets it. Parker Hansen, in the Wednesday night video, said, when you follow Christ, it's not about your needs. We want to think we're going to help ourselves with Christ. We need to branch out and help others. He gets it. Isn't that amazing? And Ryan Lindsay, if you know me, you know I have a pride problem. We know and we love you anyway. It's kind of like saying, if you know me, you know I have a sin problem. We all say that. We all share that. But how many 17-year-olds do you know who would say, it's really cool to serve others? The reoccurring theme in these mission trip videos that we saw was this. Following Christ is just not about me. It's about what God does through me. As Beth Trilco put it, it's getting or letting God push me out of my comfort zone. We need to be pushed out of our comfort zone sometimes. Now, this mission trip report, it's very well done. I commend Destin for doing a great job on both of them. But we have to be careful here. Because this video is not about feeling good about our kids, although we do. It's about a challenge to live for Christ the way the apostle instructs us to live for Christ. Being one in spirit and purpose, with humility, looking out for the interests of others in this church and outside this church. It's a challenge to be the church that Christ calls us to be. Not just one week a year off in New York City or down in San Antonio, but every day of the year and our whole lives. And here's the problem, maybe. Maybe you're like me and you just... The truth is we're just not very good at it sometimes. We're not perfect at it. We stumble. It's like on the path, on the journey, following Christ. And we stumble and we fall off into the ditch. We forget the call of Christ and we find ourselves once again immersed in our own selfish ambition. And we're tempted to give up. But we don't give up. We don't stay in the ditch. We don't let our brother or our sister stay in the ditch. We pull each other out. We pick each other up. And we go on down the path, the right direction. Because following Christ is not perfection, it's direction. And we're on that direction. Our kids are. We are. We find our joy. We find our purpose. Our meaning in becoming true, humble ambassadors for Christ. And we all stumble at it some. And maybe the kids in your house who went on that trip, maybe they've already stumbled. I would be surprised if they haven't. But we're on the right direction. Ronald Rollheiser. He's a Catholic theologian, a priest. And he wrote something I came across last week that I found very interesting, and it stopped me. Sometimes I'm reading a book or whatever, and I'll come across something and I want to remember that. He said, a theist believes in a God in heaven, whereas a Christian believes in a God in heaven who is physically present on this earth inside human beings. God is still present, as physical and real today as God was in the historical Jesus. God still has skin, human skin, and physically walks on this earth just as Jesus did. Now, I'll have to admit, I stopped and I thought, whoa, maybe Ronald has overstated it just a bit. I mean, how can I? I'm not Jesus. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, maybe not. Maybe he hasn't overstated. Remember the gospel? Christ died for our sins. We know that. He rose again. We know that. And then he ascended into heaven. And the Spirit of Christ descended for this purpose, that God would be present in this world in you and me. In this church, a church in action, spreading the gospel of Christ by helping kids wherever we can encounter them, by helping people in need, whether it's in our community or in other communities. And as evidenced by the students who went to New York, who went to San Antonio, deep joy and hope-filled contentment is experienced as we take on that servant attitude of Christ. Now that joy and hope, that can begin to slip away when we allow ourselves to kind of fall back into that life of selfish ambition and vain conceit, and it's all about me. And like I said, maybe the kids in your house have already experienced that a little bit. Maybe you have. So today I want to invite you to pray with me. And I want us to pray together this prayer that begins with confession. Confession that we have sinful attitudes that creep back in, that push us, or we allow to push us into being self-absorbed. And then receiving God's forgiveness and recommitting ourselves to following the example of Christ, the example that our elder Paul read in the second part of this passage in Philippians about Jesus, our example. So I want to invite you to pray with me. I'll give voice to our prayers, but you pray in your heart. Lord God Almighty, we confess to you that all too often sinful attitudes creep back in. We get self-absorbed, and that self-absorption and conceited pride. It gets in the way. It blinds us to the needs around us that You call us to respond to. So, Lord God, we confess. It creeps back in. We reject that self-absorbed pride that blinds us. Forgive us. Lift us up out of the ditch. That we may follow You. That we may humble ourselves. Give ourselves away. And in doing so, experience Your presence and Your power and Your peace like You intend. And more important than what we feel, Lord, we want to be faithful. We want people to see Christ in us. So help us. Give us strength. Give us courage to keep getting up and moving forward, loving our neighbor as ourself, and serving those in need. In Christ we pray. Amen.